Well, we all know of the devastation the drought is causing so many people around our region, and it's certainly been felt in its ferocity on the Granite Belt. It's just been horrible there. And so this is a really great initiative. A number of Granite Belt wineries have banded together to launch Wine for Water. And to tell us about what they're doing and how you can help, Ray Costanzo is one of the winemakers from Golden Grove Estate, and he joins us for breakfast. Good morning to you, Ray.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well. First of all, thank you for what you do in making wine, one of my favourite pastimes. So, and Golden Grove produce some beautiful wines as well, so magnificent stuff. But tell us a little bit about Wine for Water. What's the idea behind this?
So, yeah, basically I wanted to rally the Granite Belt wine industry together to kind of make some funds for the Granite Belt and for the community members of Stanthorpe who are doing it tough. So the wine industry around here is really important to the town, and they've done a lot for us, so we want to sort of give back. So it's a case of, yeah, getting these wineries to put some packs together to sell to make some money.
That's fantastic. Now, you've had support from a number of well-known wineries there on the Granite Belt.
Yeah. I've been really lucky. Like, we've had 12 for the first round. We've had a couple more come on board now. So, yeah, really generous offers from these wineries. Like, they're giving wine away at half the retail price, and some of them have even donated, you know, wine as well. And a lot of these guys are running low on stock themselves. So it's been very, very generous of them all. You know, it's a really tight-knit community here, which is great to see. So, yeah.
How has the drought and indeed the fires, how has all of that affected the winemaking industry there?
So, yeah, the drought itself, like, people are trucking in water. Like, we're trucking in water. A few guys around us are trucking in water just to keep the vines alive and get them started with the hope that we get some rain coming, you know, to see us through the season. The fires, they were quite devastating last year and threw some smoke across the region, but that wasn't quite as bad. I know one vineyard did lose some grapes, which is terrible. But it's been a tough year.
It certainly has. Now, where do people go to support this and get themselves some fantastic Granite Belt wines?
So, number one, yeah, go to our Facebook page. If you can go to our Facebook page, Wine for Water, and like that and share it around to get the message out there. But also there is the links to all these wineries' websites, and you can order them from their website, from their web store. They're $150 delivered anywhere in Australia, and all the money we're raising is going to Granite Belt Drought Assist for them to buy some water, stock feed, and food hampers for the community. So, yeah, it's a... hopefully we can get this far and wide. But even better, if you get a chance, come down to Stanthorpe. You know, we need the visitors here. Come support our main street, our cafes, and everything like that. We need people to keep coming to Stanthorpe.
Yeah, that is the big thing, and it's something we've been saying for a little while now, is the best thing that you can do is actually go and spend a weekend or a week on the Granite Belt. Go and have a look around two of the wineries, pick up some of these magnificent six-packs, and also just spending money in every little corner store and all those places makes such a big difference. So
what a
wonderful thing this is. Go and have a look at Wine for Water on Facebook, and then you'll find links to all of the wineries involved, and there's some absolute beauties there. I'm going to go and order myself a six-pack or two, and we hope that you do the same thing. Ray, thank you for your time, mate, and well done in a great initiative.
No, thank you. Thank you.
Well, if you love a chocolatey treat like I do, good news is that one of the best in the world, yeah, the world, is being produced right here in the Garden City, which is absolutely sensational. Trevor and Magda Smith have been operating Matisto Chocolate now at Harristown there for the last couple of years, and in a short time have already turned the chocolate world on its head. And Trevor joins me for breakfast this morning. Good morning to you, Trevor.
Morning.
Congratulations on the success that you've had with what you've been doing there as far as the chocolate. And your latest couple of accolades, named one of the best five chocolates in the world 2019 and winners of the Australian Food Industry Small Producers in 2019. Congratulations on the success that you're having.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about the difference between your chocolate, say, and what we might know as the standard block of chocolate.
A good analogy we like to always try and use is something like wine. You've got all kinds of wines these days, and once upon a time, all wines were considered very similar. We do a similar thing with chocolate these days in that there's fine chocolate, there's cheap chocolate, and there's everything in between. So we focus on using single farm cocoa, good quality stuff, paying above fair trade prices for cocoa, ensuring farmers have a good life, and just bringing good chocolate, trying to get people to take it seriously.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. Have you been surprised at the success that you've had in such a short amount of time?
Yeah, it's going really well, actually. As a company, when we started in Sweden, we were using a lot of the finest cocoa we could get our hands on.
Yes.
When we reopened in Australia, we decided to throw a bit of a wild card in there and use cocoa from Solomon Islands.
Right.
Which isn't up there at the moment with the world's best. So it was a big gamble to use kind of an unknown or untested cocoa, and we're amazed ourselves with the success we're having with it. So it's a good thing.
I mean, you must be getting a bit of notice from these other chocolate-making organisations because, you know, as I say, one of the top five in the world, they must be sort of looking over and going, well, what are they doing?
Yeah, a lot of them, it depends which region of the chocolate world you look at. There's a certain sector of the chocolate world that doesn't really fixate on quality at all.
Yes. And yes.
I think there's two different, very distinct markets. And the market we're in, yeah, a lot of these other higher-end chocolate makers are always looking for something new and different. So they're always looking around.
Absolutely brilliant. Why Toowoomba?
No particular reason. My family ended up settling here, trying to find a good place to move to after growing up in Alice Springs. And my family, we decided to move back from Sweden, and Toowoomba just kind of ticks all the boxes. It's an up-and-coming city. It's not too big. It's not too small. Good housing prices.
Yes.
And as it turns out, since we've started a business here, it's a good environment to run a family business, I think.
That is fantastic. How much chocolate are you producing there these days?
We're doing about 200 kilos a week.
Righto.
So we're certainly not up in the production of talking about tons per day like a lot of the big companies are, but that's not our focus. Our focus is to make good chocolate, not lots and lots and lots of chocolate. So,
and where can people get Matisto chocolate?
So we've got retailers all over the world. If you're here in Toowoomba, you can come and see us on Saturday mornings at the factory. We're not open during the week. We have retailers around Toowoomba too, like Toowoomba Fresh in Grand Central, Slipper City Roasters, Wenland Fine Foods, Amanda out at Hampton Emerald Restaurant, and even down in Brisbane at Gasworks and the Standard Market Group.
Fantastic. All right. So what's the address out there at your factory?
It's 19 Croft Crescent.
19 Croft Crescent. You're open on Saturday mornings.
Yes, that's right.
Brilliant. Well, I recommend that you try it. It is absolutely sensational. Top quality chocolate, and now named one of the best five chocolates in the world. Congratulations on your continued success.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
You cannot be serious!
Yes, I'm serious. And would you like fries with that? Just got a whole new meaning. With police saying employees at a New Hampshire Burger King drive-thru in the US have been selling marijuana with their meals. Apparently, two Burger King employees were arrested last Saturday after police were tipped off that customers who asked for extra crispy fries got marijuana with their meal. According to Epping Police Chief Mike Wallace, the drive-thru customers would ask for a nasty boy and then extra crispy fries. He also noted the drugs weren't put into the food but placed in a separate container. Well, thank goodness for that. So, apparently, the buds are better at Burger King. And a 25-year-old Venezuelan woman was arrested after attempting to smuggle her boyfriend out of prison in a suitcase. Antoinetta Sauda recently tried to leave a local prison with boyfriend Ibrahim Garcia hidden inside a suitcase she'd brought along to carry his daughter's toys. However, guards reportedly caught on to her ruse when she began to have trouble pushing the luggage. Garcia, who's currently serving a 10-year sentence for car robbery, was found curled up inside the suitcase when guards opened it for inspection. Yes, don't you hate it when you're smuggling your boyfriend out of prison and you hear this?
Unexpected item in bagging area.
You cannot be serious!
Triple M. The shows. The stars. The glamour. The big wins and the occasional fail. It's all in Lee's Entertainment Report on the Darling Downs 864 Triple M.
It's the news that's set to shake up the reality television world with a former contestant who was portrayed as a villain on House Rules, winning a workers' compensation case against Channel 7 for psychological injury. The landmark ruling by the New South Wales Workers' Compensation Commission found Nicole Prince was legally an employee of 7, despite her contract with the network explicitly stating there was no employment relationship. Ms. Prince and her friend Fiona Taylor were the second team voted off the 2017 season of House Rules. The women were both paid $500 per week and a $500 allowance during filming, which took place in November and December of 2016. Ms. Prince also claimed that both she and Fiona had been subject to isolation, bullying and harassment by other teams, and on one occasion she witnessed Fiona be physically assaulted. Henry Thomas, who shot to fame at the age of 10 playing Elliot in E.T., has been arrested in the United States. Thomas, who played the wide-eyed 10-year-old in the classic movie, was arrested at 8:30 Monday night after police were called to reports of a car stopped in the middle of an intersection. The 48-year-old was apparently asleep behind the wheel, with police forced to wake him up, and after exhibiting signs of drunkenness, was subsequently charged. And a reinvented version of The Who's classic rock opera Tommy is set to return to Broadway in 2021. The musical, which has been a fan favourite and award winner, is said to be given a 21st century makeover, so I'm assuming they're going to have to change the song Pinball Wizard to PlayStation Wizard. And that's the latest.